the rest of the story. The trouble started Sunday, July 16, at the corner of Pearl Street and Chatham. A 24-year-old school teacher tried to board a city streetcar. She, Elizabeth Jennings, who Sundays played the organ at her congregational church on 6th Street, was on her way there for that purpose. But she was told that she could not get on the streetcar, that it was full. Elizabeth peeked inside past rows of empty seats. "There's plenty of room," she insisted. At which point, the conductor replied that his passengers did not want her riding with them. "I have my rights," Elizabeth declared. A scuffle ensued, resulting in her forcible ejection from the streetcar. Now, that might have been that, but schoolteacher and church organist Elizabeth Jennings was no mere happenstance. No unsuspecting victim of isolated racism. She was the daughter of Thomas Jennings, businessman, civic leader, active in a growing movement to end widespread discrimination in the city's public transit system. And as activist, Thomas Jennings' daughter Elizabeth had rather anticipated what she was in for that Sunday morning. It was the streetcar company, however, whose executives had no idea what lay in store. For promptly, the city's African-American community mounted an effort to raise funds for a lawsuit. Elizabeth Jennings versus the bad guys. A law firm was selected based on its recent successes in civil rights litigation. The case went to trial. A year later, Circuit Court Judge Rockwell ruled, quote, "Colored persons, if sober and well-behaved and free from disease, have the same rights as others and can neither be excluded by any rules of the company nor by force or violence," end quote. Elizabeth Jennings had won. A month later, that same community, another African-American was barred from public transit. He, Peter Porter, also sued the transit company. That case was settled out of court, and so was the issue. For thenceforth, African-Americans, based on Elizabeth Jennings' triumph, could proudly ride any and all public transportation through and around the city. Not Selma, not Montgomery, not Atlanta. New York City. New York City. For once upon a glass house, there was a young woman who exposed those throwing stones more than 100 years before Rosa Parks refused to relinquish her seat to a white man on a Montgomery bus. July 16, 1854, this happened. And one thing more, the lawyer the Jennings family retained to try that groundbreaking civil rights case was a 21-year-old novice attorney full of righteous indignation and more than a little naivete. In fact, he represented Elizabeth Jennings in court, having passed the New York bar only months previous. Yet he prevailed, and overnight, he became a hero from Manhattan to San Francisco. And it was that national recognition which opened the door to a political career that he had neither sought nor anticipated. Historians often pronounce that Chester A. Arthur, President Chester A. Arthur, was no big deal as American public figures go. Well, now you know that's not so, because now you have learned the rest of the story.